Good morning. What a great joy it is to look out and see your smiling faces this day as we come together to share in the gifts and the blessings from Almighty God. Indeed, we hope and pray that our hearts, our minds, and our spirits will be touched in unique ways as we come to share in life. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
The music beat me today. That's my cue, but I'm usually trying to be up here. But, you know, good help is hard to get these days. Good morning. I do offer a warm welcome to all present, and especially any visitors that we have this morning. And if you are a visitor and would like information about our church, please see any of our ushers. Or if you don't want to do that, we also have the opportunity for you to pick up a welcome packet in the narthex. It's on the shepherd's hook. Please sign the registration pads that are in the red folders located in your pew and pass it to others and bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in the holders, in the red folders there. Complete that 3x5 card and stick it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. I would like to highlight a few announcements. The Women's Book Study, and there's lots of details on all of these, so I do encourage you to get more information. But a woman's book study will be starting on September 30th. Now, that's certainly a solid month away, but it's important, if you're interested in that, to contact Barb. She will be ordering the workbooks for that. So the workbook orders are due this week for a study that will begin at the end of the month. The Dartball League is also looking forward to their upcoming schedule. That will begin on Monday, September 14th. So if you have interest in the Men's Dartball League, please check your bulletin. And also in September, September 13th will be our Sunday school kickoff day, and there will be a pancake breakfast. And all of these announcements are detailed in your bulletin. And I would, Diane has an announcement for us.
Tomorrow is the picnic at Oak Hollow Park. The information is in your bulletin. I want to invite everyone, even if you have not sent in a reservation, maybe you've been gone for the summer or you're visiting today, please come anyway. It's going to be in the Pine Pavilion. It's going to start at 5 o'clock. You bring a dish to pass and your utensils. If you are coming, don't tear off anything and put it in the offering plate, because I won't get it till Tuesday, and then you'll just have leftovers. But if you know right now that you'll be able to make it tomorrow, if you want to just jot down your name on a corner of the bulletin and bring it on up to the organ bench before you leave today, that would give us extra help on the count. Otherwise, if you decide tomorrow after work you don't want to cook, you want to pick up a bag of salad at the store and stick it in a bowl and bring it, then come anyway. Of course, if everybody brings salad, we'll be healthier. Okay, we'll hope to see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Diane. And for those that have not attended, in addition to all the good eats that we Methodists always provide for each other, there will also be a sunset worship, brief worship service. So that makes for a very nice late afternoon and early evening. And then I do have one final announcement. As the chair of the trustees, I wanted to point out, because usually someone is inquisitive each Sunday, if you notice on my left, however you are sitting in the pews, the yellow taped area, we had some major water damage starting at the roof. We have contacted the insurance company and Raimondo and Lycar, the roofers, so it's all pending with regard to getting that fixed. So it's not just going to be a simple patch. They're going to start at the roof on the outside, take care of that, and then you're probably going to see for a week or two that the inside wall is going to be ripped off, because they will be taking care of that. So I do want you to know that the trustees are aware and are diligently working to get our sanctuary back to the normal. And a final reminder, please take a look at any of the other announcements and meetings that we have scheduled in the life of our church. Thank you. Thank you, Diane, for that lovely opening prelude. I would now ask that you stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Happy are those who live and pray in your house.
Happy are those who find your strength and beauty.
It is better to be a doorkeeper in your house than to live in the tents of wickedness. Please remain standing and join in our unison prayer printed in your bulletin. Eternal God, there is none like you in heaven or on earth. If you will walk with us in faithful love, we will walk in your paths all the days of our lives. As you filled Solomon's temple with your glory and power, so now fill our lives with your presence, that we may find the strength to live righteously and resist the forces of evil. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 526, in your red hymnal.
Please be seated. I don't have any kids this morning for the children's sermon, but I'm not going to let the ministry of 8th Avenue Place not get an offering that cares for the ministries and the life of that area. So you can read a little bit of an insert about that, and you help collect this for me. All right. You need two buckets, or you think you can get it all in one? You'll take two, one for each hand. All right. And don't forget Peggy.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
Dig deep, because this is a talent. Look at this young man.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. What a beautiful, beautiful song. It's now time for our responsive reading, and that is found in your red hymnal, Psalm 84, number 804. Please recite your response to my prompt. God is seated in the divine council, and in the midst of the gods holds judgment. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute.
Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. And we end the reading from Psalm, and I would ask that you turn to our affirmation of faith, number 885 in the red hymnal. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. And at this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you.
God, our King. You are the hope of the world. You bring peace and gladness even when we struggle. We dedicate our offering to strengthen the church's witness in the world. Through these gifts, may your love be made known to those who struggle. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to that time in our service where we get to remember and to lift up the joys and the celebrations, the hurts and the needs of individuals in our midst. If you turn on the back of our worship folder this morning, you will see listed there our service personnel around the world. This month's prayer list, those individuals that we rotate on and off on a monthly basis, those continually with special needs that we continue to pray for, as well as our individuals in personal care and rehabilitation centers. Please add, in addition to those names, Matt Gunkel continues to be a patient at UPMC East, undergoing chemotherapy and is in the ICU unit there. So we want to continue to remember his family and extended family as well during this time of Matt dealing with cancer. A multitude of needs around the world. We just need to pick up a newspaper or the radio, the news, whatever. Remember those situations that are near and dear to our hearts as well, and those situations that, because of their nature at this time, just cannot be made public. But God hears and knows those prayers without us being specific and knows our hearts and our spirits. Our prayer hymn to unite our hearts and voices, number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, every hour we do need you. For you are the one that seeks to sustain us, to comfort us. You are the one, O God, that seeks to direct us in our daily lives and living. You are the one, O God, that opens before us opportunities. Opportunities, O God, for mission and ministry. And sometimes, O God, that mission and ministry is easy. And other times, O God, how we need you because you send us to people to whom we do not want to go. But we know, O God, that in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, in his teachings, he has called and he empowers us to go into the world and to make disciples. Sometimes that is easy and other times it's difficult. Now, O God, you call us to be the eyes and the ears, the voices of Jesus Christ, the hands and the feet that are willing to go, to be, and to do. And that's easier said than done. But in the midst of it all, O God, we are thankful for the ministry that is represented here in your people this day. We are thankful for the ministry that is represented here by your church. We are thankful, O God, for the mission and ministry that is represented by your disciples, your servants, Sunday through Saturday. Oh God, we pray that as we go into this week with new beginnings and new opportunities with school and possibility, oh God, of new jobs and new employment, new friends, new families, new acquaintances, those that we will cross paths with on the street and the grocery stores, oh God, may we be your faithful servants. For those times, O God, when we have not been faithful, we pray for your grace and your forgiveness. Knowing, O God, that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, we pray that your Spirit might rest upon us so that when we are faced with similar situations, we might be triumphant and that we might whisper, that we might shout joy and praise to you. Oh God, we pray for the hurts and the needs of people in our midst this day. For those on our prayer list, those that have been added. Those, oh God, that are transitioning. Those that are experiencing a sense of newness. Those that need healing, health, and wholeness. Those, O God, that need a sense of peace and comfort and direction. Those that need healing. Those who are searching for physical and spiritual food. For those needs, O God, that are upon our hearts and just cannot be made public today. But we know that your Son, Jesus Christ, worked wonders in the lives of people and will work wonders in the lives of each and every one of us right now. Oh God, as we go into the world, we pray that your Spirit might rest upon us to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us, and to direct us as we go into the world. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we ask, that we pray, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear these words of Scripture for us this day, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Hear these words from chapter 6 of John's Gospel, beginning with verse 56. Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you are those who do not believe." For Jesus knew the first who were from the first, the ones who did not believe, and who was the one that was to betray him. And Jesus said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that these words might take root in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. O God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Mark Twain once said that many people complain that they do not understand the Bible. He said that he could live with the parts of the Bible that he did not understand. It was those parts that he did understand that bothered him the most. Seems to be this issue around this morning's passage of Scripture from Luke's or from John's gospel. It's again one of those about eating flesh and blood. This teaching is difficult, said Jesus' disciples. Who can accept it? And many took offense at the words of Jesus and they left. And finally, Jesus says to the 12, do you wish to go away also? But that's really a question for us this morning. Do we wish to go away as well? Are you offended by me, Jesus says? Now, this is a rhetorical question. I really don't want the answers right now, or we might be here for a long time. What bothers you the most about Jesus? What bothers you the most about your church? What bothers you the most about your denomination? Those who chose not to follow Jesus failed to follow Jesus because they could not get Jesus to fit into their system, into their lives. They could not add Jesus to what they were already doing, and so they chose not to follow. They couldn't figure out how to have Jesus plus Jesus plus faithfulness, Jesus plus the law, Jesus plus politics. That'll get you going. Jesus plus power. Jesus plus fun. I remember the little girl at church camp when I was a dean of a junior or an elementary camp, and I was laughing and giggling about something, and she looked up at me and she said, I cannot believe you are laughing and you're going to be a minister. Oh. Of course, she was only about 7 or 8 years old, but oh, poor child. Couldn't get blended together Jesus and intellect, Jesus plus ego, Jesus plus Christianity, Jesus plus you fill in the blank. I'm going to go over here for a little bit. It's a little story I heard years ago that I've thoroughly enjoyed. There were three clergy that were gathered together one time sharing a meal together, and they were discussing one of the problems they were having in their church, and it was a problem that all three of them shared in common. Their sanctuaries were becoming overrun with bats. And the first pastor said, well, I finally had enough of the bats, and I went into the sanctuary one evening with my shotgun, and I just started shooting, and I got 4 of them. Needless to say, the trustees are not very happy with me. The second pastor said, well, I devised these traps and I set them up in the sanctuary and I caught all the bats and I took them 150 miles away. I let them go, and before I got back, they all returned with every single bat they journeyed past on the way, and now we've got a bigger problem than we started with. And the third pastor said, we had a bat problem, but no more. And the other two clergy looked at her and said, what did you do? And she said, well, I had it as well, and so I baptized and confirmed them all, and I haven't seen them since. But that's frustrating. It's frustrating when we see people that come and join the church only to make sure that they've got some place to be married, buried, and baptized. It's frustrating when we see that ministry and the life of the church is not getting fulfilled to its fullest. It's frustrating when we see empty pews. Somebody the other evening said, "Remember when the balcony was filled with the youth of this church?" There's not a single person in there right now. And yet Jesus Christ calls each and every one of us, all of us, to go and to make disciples of all the world. And so the question is, how do we help people get connected and experience God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? There was a person that was on a pilgrimage, on a journey, searching for the secret of eternal life. Now, many people had tried to explain it to this person, but it just never took root. And so finally, he went to a would-be teacher who said, "You must cease wanting it. It's only when you realize that there's no eternal life and give up searching for its secret that you will understand. And then it will become clear to you, and you will be at peace." "Ah," said the searcher, "so you've found the secret." "Well, of course not," said the teacher. Well, the searcher kept on searching. Came upon a second teacher who seemed to have many followers and asked, "What is the secret of eternal life?" And the teacher explained that life, as is death, is an illusion. And it's only when we allow ourselves to believe in the reality of what we see that we worry about such matters. There is no eternal life to be found, nor is life real. Everything is an illusion. Everything is a dream. Enjoy yourself. You may as well. You create your own reality. No one else can. And the searcher thanked the teacher for his wisdom, but he wasn't quite satisfied. There was still that empty sense of being in his heart, mind, and spirit. And finally, sitting down one evening, he picked up a book. And it was a book that he had known all his life. But being so familiar with it had kept him from really getting to know it. And he says, "In that book, I met a third person." And the third person said, "I am the secret of eternal life. No one will be saved except through me." "And where are you?" asked the searcher. "How can I come to you? How can I find you?" And the person said, "Invite me into your heart and you will find me there. Look for me in the pages of this book and I'll be there. Find me in the eyes of your loved one, in the eyes of the poor and the downtrodden, the outcast of the earth. Draw near to me and I'll come to you. Worship me with a sense of joy and gladness and I'll fill you with true peace. And you are the secret of eternal life," the searcher persisted. You, this Jesus I've heard about all my life, it's really you." And Jesus said, read my words. Read the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses of my deeds. When others left off from following me because of something they didn't understand, those who knew me best saw nowhere else to turn. For I am the way, the truth, the life, and I am the source of eternal life. Now, we're all on a journey. If you were that searcher, who would you believe? When Jesus walked on the earth, he invited people to observe his actions, his teachings. And he then invited people to follow him. Some did so, but many did not. And the difference between the two groups is really simple. Those who followed Jesus followed Jesus. Lord, to whom can we go? Asked Peter. You are the one who has the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. I didn't have the last sentence of the affirmation of faith that we said this morning in mind till it jumped out at me at the first service. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. In the midst of all of this passage of Scripture, perhaps that we don't understand or can't comprehend, the good news is we do not need to look any farther. Jesus the Christ, he's the secret. He is life. Those who followed Jesus followed Jesus. May we go and do likewise. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it is easier said than done to follow Jesus. Is to follow Jesus. But we ask and pray, O God, that the teachings that we know, that they might take deep root in our spirits and our souls and might be daily nurtured by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit each and every day. That we, O God, might be your faithful servants to the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, number 369, Blessed Assurance. gracious and loving God, as we go into the world following Jesus, living as your servants, your disciples, may we have that blessed assurance that we, O God, are never alone and we never go alone. For we pray in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.